There's like a gigantic thing here, and I don't know what this is, but where did you get this? What is this?
That's another dildo. Okay.
There's a gigantic white... Born ready.
What was that?
I was born ready.
You were born or something.
I was bore ready.
All right. Well, anyway.
Like I was a bore. Have you ever tried to sell stuff? Hi, everybody.
No.
I'm Kyle Hagen.
Hi, and I'm Kendrick Evans. And vehemently opposed to selling stuff.
We're sit sock.
Sitting on the sock. That's not what that means. Oh, God, I hit my elbow.
Well, strike one against position. I wonder if that's going to be an issue this whole time. Keep your arms high, kid.
Keep your
10
arms.
And 12.
10 and, that's not what it is anymore.
No, but I'm saying put them on the other side.
No, I'm saying 10 and 12. I thought you meant 10 and 2, and I'm like, no, you meant 10 and 12.
That way you can never hit the microphone.
Guess I can pull
Have you ever tried to sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace?
That sounds like the worst possible idea you could ever have.
Have you ever tried to sell stuff on Craigslist?
No.
Okay. Well, that was short. That was a short sit sock.
I just don't...
Okay, well, that guy's not stopping.
Wow, not even like a little bit. Like I don't think he realizes that I'm here.
Wow, and he's not stopping for that either. Wow. That one wasn't even... That was a real stop sign. Is he going to stop for the one up there?
I don't know. We're about to watch a wreck.
Oh, he stopped.
No, he isn't yet. He actually hasn't yet. Never did. Didn't stop at all once. Beautiful. That guy is either really enjoying the beers at his company... Or does not give a single fuck in the whole wide world.
He's a human piece of garbage.
Yeah, he is. Let's watch him blow through this next stop sign.
Yay.
Eventually, he'll die.
If we follow him really close, maybe he'll keep blowing through them.
Hmm.
So, I'm
he's
like...
He's
at ace. As I mentioned last week, wink.
Wink?
Because it's the same
thing. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
He didn't really stop for that one either.
And there was like another car
there. There was a car there.
I'm moving, so I was trying to sell stuff, and I was like mixing up, you know, Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist, because I didn't want to sell on eBay because it's not local, and I didn't want to ship.
Right.
So like I'm like trying to get rid of my stuff, and like I had a guy ask for. So at this point, when you listen to this podcast, you will have known if I got my house broken into by this guy who shadily asked, said he'd buy this bike from me for like $30. So you'll have heard me bitch about how someone broke into my house. But I was thinking about it because he said he was like bargaining with me like you do on Craigslist. Craigslist is like a place of craziness because
I avoid Craigslist.
People don't really like
this guy's drunk, by the way.
People
there's like 100% chance.
Yeah, 900%. I wonder if he's gonna stop at this light.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay. He's like bargaining with me. He's like blah blah blah. I can't do it for $20 or whatever. So I was like, or he said I can't do it for $40, and I was like, do it for $20. And he's like, I'll do it for $20 and meet you at 5:30 in the morning before you leave. So before I came up to your house. I was waiting for a guy outside with a bike I wanted to sell for $20. And he didn't show up. And I texted him and said, hey, I got to go to work. You know, let me know if you want to meet again. And he hasn't texted me all day. So I'm wondering if he's dead or if he was just trying to get my address so he could figure out where my house was to rob me. So, like, in my paranoid mind, those are the two options. It's not that, you know, maybe he lost his phone or he just didn't want to come down at 5:30 and he doesn't want to buy it anymore. It's that I'm either robbed or I murdered a man. I'm directly responsible for murdering a man.
How did we get to murder?
Oh, because he's dead, and I talked to him last, so I'm suspect.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, did you murder him? I mean, I don't... Are you winking?
No.
Winking is probably not a good solution.
Can
right
you guys
now.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Wink?
I'll make sure there's a wink sound effect back in there.
I want to know what wink sound effect
is. I don't know either, but that's what Google
But so it freaked me out, because I was like, well, now I have all this stuff up on Craigslist, and if somebody, like, needs to meet me, I'm feeling like I shouldn't give them my address, right? Like,
I wouldn't.
But like, but how would you sell stuff, then?
You would tell them the town you're in, meet them somewhere.
Ah, fuck you. No fucking good ideas. There's two fucks in a row, everybody.
Two fucks. The double fucking.
The double fucking.
The double fucking. Okay.
So, I guess the positive part is that if I didn't get everything stolen, if I did get everything stolen from me, I don't have to move a bunch of stuff.
That's true. But then you have to file police reports and shit for an address you're not going to get anymore. That's the second time I bumped that now, so we'll see how this works out. If you can hear those, probably can.
You probably can, yeah, a lot.
Like a hot.
Can you please stop doing that?
No.
Okay.
Well, I can't stop, won't stop.
I'm interested to see how much traffic there is today. This is the most boring sit sock ever, by the way.
Yeah? No, not true. The one where I was ranting was probably the most boring.
Which is
one.
The RMSU one?
No, the one when I was by myself and I was getting a little sick and I was really mad.
Oh, that was a good one, though.
That was something.
It was
a unique experience. What do you mean, how much traffic?
New York. I can't think of a list.
Why do you think there was going to be traffic?
Because it's, I don't know.
Okay.
I just wish so many people stopped at that other light. I was worried there was traffic.
Fair.
So I went to Gen Con. Yeah, that's where it was.
Fucking talk about that shit.
So if you've never heard of Gen Con, it's one of the Indianapolis's biggest. It's actually, it's a very big board game convention in Indianapolis. I'll try to keep my train of thought. It's one of the biggest conventions the entire state has every year. Like, it brings people in from all over the globe, and it's like one of the main events that every restaurant, retailer, hotel looks forward to every year because it brings that many people into the event. But it's still not that big. Like, or rather, it didn't seem all that big. It's definitely bigger than Denver Comic Con, but it's in a way bigger space.
Ah, gotcha.
So, like, it didn't feel crowded.
That's that trick, right? Crowded is what makes it feel big.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Denver Comic Con feels, like, super, super small sometimes, or super big sometimes because it's such a small location.
It totally depends on how they organize it. Yeah.
But it was interesting because, like, I mean, Indiana, if you've never been to Indiana, it's like farms with dispersed cities throughout, right? None of the cities in Indiana are as big as Denver. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of smaller cities, but there's more of them.
I'm struggling to remember the names. Indianapolis is the big one.
Indianapolis, and then I asked the Uber driver what the other big cities were, and he rambled off a bunch of things I never heard of before. So,
isn't there one in the south?
Ones are like, because it's the thin state, right? So Chicago's kind of close to it because it's like, because Indiana is like the thin one that's in between like Michigan and Illinois. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it's got just the ever so slight sliver on the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. It's mostly landlocked, but it's still humid as all fuck. Mm-hmm. And
Reverend Peyton is from down there.
Yeah, and so like a lot of places, it's the crossroads. So actually, it was kind of cool. My girlfriend Amy, hello Amy.
Hi Amy.
Girlfriend's sister's brother's fiance's brother is who we stayed with.
Hang on.
Girlfriend's sister's fiance's brother.
Okay, I thought you said sister's brother.
Now, I'm gonna go deeper here.
We gotta go deeper.
My girlfriend's sister's fiance's brother's girlfriend's stepdad is a cop in Indianapolis. So if you ever get the chance to talk to cops and they're friendly, like they're willing to talk to you about their jobs, do it. Always do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk to Cliff and
I've got a half a dozen cops.
Yeah, and it's actually really cool and really enlightening. Stories. So he told me that there's not a lot of single group crime in Indianapolis because it's the crossroads. It's where everybody meets from down south, northwest. They kind of come through Indianapolis, right?
So all
of the cartel people, all of the people in the various groups of gangs and cartels are all working together to make sure people can get through the thing. So, like, I want to buy my drugs from you, but you need to be able to move through the city so you can get me your drugs. So everything seems to be this
beautiful
mutually
balance.
Exclusive thing. So they spend beneficial. A ton of time, huh?
Mutually beneficial.
Yeah, mutually beneficial. Exclusive. Yeah, sorry. Mutually exclusive is not what I meant.
No, it's like the opposite.
So he says he's a detective, but he's in uniform, which is kind of odd. Like, yeah, a detective wouldn't usually wear a uniform as far as I can understand because you wouldn't want to if you didn't have to.
Right.
But they do because being pulled over by a cop, by any cop, you could be a detective and you could be in, like, your uniform and it seems like you're a patrolman. So they treat you very differently in Indianapolis and probably everywhere, but mm-hmm. when they think that you're not a detective. But the detectives are the people who are trained to, like, be able to suss out things and
right.
do all that
Detect.
Kind of stuff. Yeah, if you will. Detective.
And I do.
There's, like, a gigantic thing here. And I don't know what this is, but where did you get this? What is this?
That's another dildo. Okay.
There's a gigantic white piece of hair
that's like a wig.
Kendrick's.
It must be off of a wig.
This is going to be really loud. Why'd I do this? Why'd you let me do this?
I'm not watching. I found a great
hair.
So
it was really cool. It was really cool. Just now? Your first
one? No, last night.
talking to the... his name was...
Gertrude.
Rex? No.
Jedediah.
Joe? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
But he's
pretty cool. Anyway, Gen Con is pretty fun because basically... Denver Comic Con and Comic Cons revolve around like stars, authors, you know... movie and TV stars, authors, voice actors, artists, all this stuff getting together, and they kind of become these amalgamations of things where it's not really about comics anymore. It's kind of just about the culture that surrounds comics.
Nerds.
Yeah, but it goes further than just comics, right?
It's nerd
conventions. Gen Con is similar, but a little bit more concise. So it's this gigantic convention where board game, tabletop game, and RPG publishers come and demo their new products. So, like, it's partially a, like, massive demo con where you can go and play like games before they come out and play test. Yeah, exactly. It's like the CES or the Game Expo or E3 for board games. Mm-hmm. So you have this gigantic expo hall with all the publishers who pay a ton of money to be there to like demo and play their new games and sell them before anybody else gets them, and it's so cool. There's like play to wins, so you can play a game and win it. There's RPGs running 24/7. You can just sit, like, schedule and sit in an RPG you've never played before, and someone teaches you and plays it. There's this thing called Live Dungeon or True Dungeon, and it's like a full-on dungeon crawl, but you're playing the people and you have skills and stuff, and they're LARP. All like physical LARP. Puzzles and no, it's not LARP, and that's a good distinction to make, is that you're not dressing up, you don't have spells, everything is manufactured to fit inside of the dungeon you're going through, and like all the puzzles are things like dexterity tests or things like that you get bonus tries on if your character's better at it. So it's kind of interesting. It's really fun because it's all real, and I guess you could call it LARPing if you really wanted to, but I differentiate it because it's guided, and people do it who aren't actually LARPers, and it's a little easier to get into because you could do it with like a group of people who've never RPG'd before, and it's just a kind of puzzle room.
I would be curious to get into the differentiation between LARP and other stuff, but let's continue on this green train.
I guess I'm thinking of like connotation LARP, like the connotation associated with LARPers, where you're like you're dressing up, you're going out, you're pretending to you're emulating spells a certain way, but. I mean, if you're gonna pull it back that far, every escape room is a LARP, right?
No, not necessarily.
Why?
Because you're not playing a role. Because the definition is live action role playing game, right?
But you would
and
like
in an escape room, you're not playing a role.
Well, you're playing the people who are trying to get out of that. You're playing spies. You're playing like the people who are trying to find their like grandpa's stolen watch was the one I did, right? Grandkids. It's just how deep are you role playing, right?
I guess. And if you have character sheets with dexterity skills, like characteristic skills, and those come into play in the game, I don't know how that's not LARP. I feel like any time where you have a set of characteristics that aren't your own, that's what pushes it a little more in that direction. Whereas okay. In a puzzle room, you don't get like a retry because you're a wizard.
That's fair. Yeah, okay, I can see how that.
You don't get to.
I think I'm differentiating it on the bounds that generally LARP has a lot more like freedom of form but still restricted by a rule set, like the way you're representing things is very interesting in interesting ways, and it's a very certain set of role live act, like it's gonna be the stupidest thing I ever said. LARPing is a very specific subset of live action role playing.
I would say that live action role playing is a more generic term than what you're using it
yes,
for, probably.
Yes, but there's a...
And that, in your mind, you're more firmly associating
it's
it
not
with
just
some
my mind,
of the specific
though.
Groups.
Like, it's not just me that does that, so I don't feel like it's, like, fair to, like, push it onto my mind. Like, you... When I say LARP, there's something you think of, right?
I think of the LARPers that I've experienced,
yeah.
Which covers a half a dozen different groups with a half a dozen sets of concepts about what LARPing is and levels of involvement.
So, talk about it. Like, what...
Because, like, you got some people who, they... take it to the level to that whole other level where they will camp. It's a whole weekend. They stay in character the whole time. They've got characters that they've been playing for potentially years. Mm. They've got costume. They've got gears, gear sets. They've got all this stuff. There's a combination of like running around doing stuff. There's puzzles. There's people who portray NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
Like they show up and play as NPCs. There's all of those
so
aspects.
What's not that.
There's another one that's focused exclusively on battles, so it's a lot more of the combat oriented aspect of it.
Do they have stats and stuff like
that?
They
have stats and stuff, but they don't go for the weekend, they go for a few hours.
Okay.
So they're less committed. Maybe their characters aren't as fleshed out, they don't have quite as much backstory, but they're playing a wizard. And then there are people who will do, you know, when you have the smaller scale concept, you're just doing it for an intro or something. You may have pre-rolled characters, you may not have much investment, you may not have as much, you know, level of commitment to all of that imagination and role playing, but those are all still under the LARP.
I guess
thing.
It was a commitment thing for me because the people.
So it sounds like a one shot LARP.
Kind of, yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily like Yeah, I guess where I'm differentiating my line is, like, how much commitment you have to the process. And these people are just, like, paying $8 to, like, kind of play through a dungeon. And they might not be, like, familiar with the character they're rolling or anything like that. So it's a one-off. It's a good way to
subscribe. When I was first playing, what was the game we were playing with our superheroes?
Savage Worlds. Savage Worlds. Superhero set or whatever.
We found that because Garion found it at DCC once. And they had a pre-canned campaign, and they had pre-rolled characters that were straight up DC superheroes, right? And we set in and we played one game, one session, right, for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And it was all pre-canned, so we were playing.
I've seen it. You're playing like Green Lantern or Flash or Batman, and you're all kind of fighting each other.
And we're all running around, and we did a little mission, and it was quite a lot of fun, and it gave us a really good insight into how the game works, and yeah, it was a good thing. That to me sounds an awful like what you did.
I didn't do it, but I wanted to. But yeah,
that you were talking about, and that I wasn't as committed to that, but it was more like a taste. It was a one shot.
Yeah, so I guess I might be differentiating based off of like the people I see that I LARP, and what I've seen represented is like a far more of like Vampire the Masquerade LARPing is like one of the coolest things you could ever watch, because it's like an episode of like a soap opera. Mm-hmm. Like being part of it would be really cool, right? Or you have again like all the stuff you described, right? And I think that, like, what I guess was differentiating there, to get back to the main point, was that they're not as committed. It doesn't remind me as much of the things that I think of when I think of LARPing. But if you're, you can draw the line wherever you like with LARPing. But if it turns you off to think of something as LARPing, you probably, A, have some issues you can need to work out. But B, don't think of it that way and just go try it out and have a good time. If you're there in Indianapolis for Gen Con, I suggest it. But the cool part, like, and then they run a ton of tournaments, too. Like, all the card game tournaments that I play, right. And then I lost a bunch of, and make you want to, like, you know, kill yourself.
Forget to kill yourself.
It's cool to actually see those guys at that level, because it's a really competitive thing at that level.
Seems like that's some pretty high-level shit right there.
Yeah, it's a very, very skilled play that I was not quite ready for, so. But it was a really cool experience to go there.
That's a cool car.
Oh, yeah, it is. What are they, is it like a drag car?
It looks like a kit car.
A kit car?
Like he made it.
Like
he built it.
Like Jon Snow?
Yeah. It's a Kit Harington car. He's made from a kit too. So Gen Con.
You just caught me off guard.
Yeah? Well, I don't know what you wanted out of that.
I don't know either.
You started it.
You started. You said, look at that cool car.
I did. And then you said, is it a Jon Snow car? I would just want to point out something shiny to you. I don't understand.
I don't know why you're making a big deal out of it. I don't know. It was fun. We stayed at my girlfriend's sister's brother, fiance's brother's house.
There's got to be a word for that.
It was a little college-y. Like, you know, it was kind of messy and dogs all over and stuff.
Smelled like beer. But not good beer or fresh beer.
Yeah, it's just. I'm not gonna belittle their house because they let me stay there. But it's definitely.
But it was a shit hole.
Like,
I hated it.
I want to like wash all my clothes after I get back from there.
I know people like that.
I do too, and that's why I'm bringing it up, because
you're all gross.
Yeah, you're all really gross people. And I think that you should reevaluate everything now. I'm just kidding. The one of the other cool parts was that like basically everybody living in that house was like a chef. They worked as either sous chefs or heads of kitchens, or like just kind of chefs at the places that don't have that kind of structure.
Terminology.
Yeah. The first night we got like a bunch of good stuff from the JW Marriott's restaurant. They have an Italian restaurant in there that was really good. They had some sweet pizza, and they put soft-boiled eggs on pizza.
Soft-boiled eggs?
Yeah, so like it makes it really creamy.
Yeah.
So, like, when you eat the egg and dip the crust in the yolk and stuff, it was really interesting. I've never had soft-boiled eggs as much as I've had them out there.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I'm not sure if that's, like, a Mideast thing or fuck East Coast thing. I don't know if that's the
Coast. Did you say Mideast?
Yeah, because I don't know what to refer to. Mid? What is Indianapolis?
I thought they were considered, the start of the Midwest.
Oh, okay, well, that's fine.
Where the Midwest meets the South and the East.
Okay.
Like, they're the, like you said, the crossroads.
Yeah. So, that was interesting. They had calamari there. They like a lot of fish there, but I don't really know, like, it's like, I guess they get it imported in from the north, but the people ate a lot of fish. What else did we have? Some delicious gnocchi, like hand-rolled gnocchi.
Like gnocchi.
The second night we went to, we went to a fried chicken place.
Stop.
That had spicy honey that they put on the chicken.
It was so good.
And they had like candied bacon as an appetizer, which is something that I think more places should do.
Candied bacon.
You basically just like do it, and then you put it in a cup, and people eat it, and you're like, oh, this is delicious because it's fucking bacon.
Yeah.
Right. Fried chicken was really good. What else they had? They had like grits and all that shit. It was pretty legit. I've never been to a bar called the Eagle, and it was like a bar, but they had most like side seating, and they served this just amazing fried chicken. It's like power stop. Like, you didn't expect it to be there, right?
Yep. There's a place in San Francisco like that a little bit.
And then we went the third night to probably the most pretentious place I've ever seen in my life. Like, and not to say that the food was bad, because it was pretty good, but it was like the hipsteriest joint I've ever been to in my life.
Was there a Gilded Pibber?
No, I don't think it was. But I'm not sure that defines hipsters as much as other people are, but I guess they drink it a lot, right? I don't know.
Well, they drink it ironically.
I guess that's why I said started with pretentious and then moved to hipster, because, like...
Those can be two completely different things.
Yeah. I felt like it was very pretentious in how they change their menu every night or something like that.
Okay.
Which is a fucking huge endeavor. Like...
Yeah, that's pretty pretentious.
The things they have listed on their like ingredients are those things where you're like reading it and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like,
I can't even imagine what this would taste like.
And then it ends up tasting really good, and you're like, okay, I'm never gonna know if I want to order that again, because like I don't even know what it was to begin with.
Right.
Like they had like one of the things, and then all mixed up in all this like chicken liver saute or chicken liver mousse, blah blah blah. Right. It's like chips and dip, and you're like, what is that? And you're like, oh, it's just like chips and French onion dip, and it's like really good. And you're like, what? Like, that's like all handmade, you know? They made their own chips, they made their own French onion dip.
Made their own onions?
Yeah, exactly. And then the menu was so crazy. Like, we had somebody who got soba.
Nice.
We had somebody who got pork belly.
Nice.
I had rigatoni, like with really nice bolognese sauce. And
rigatoni.
Never had bolognese more than I had it out there, but it was super good.
Weird.
There was somebody who got like a pork chop, and you're like, okay, I see, it's fine.
Pork chop. Good.
What did somebody else get?
I wish this Volkswagen would pedal harder.
Pedal harder. Yeah, it was just you hit it on the head the first time. Like, you read the menu, and you're like, I'm not even gonna sure what that would taste like to me. Like,
my standard for that's embarrassingly low. Like, it's really easy to lose me on a menu.
See, not, I would that, have not in the bad the opposite. Way. Like,
not
you,
in the bad
know a
way.
Lot more about cooking terminology
I,
than I do.
I do, but like, there's a lot of times where I look at a menu at even a remotely upscale place, and I'm just like, I have no idea what the fuck that is. Like, even this place that's right in Belmar, right? That's the T Street Roadhouse, and it's like a chain, right? There's like half a dozen of them, mm-hmm. And it's not that fancy. I mean, it's not that expensive, you know. It's not like $100 to get in and out of there, but for two people kind of thing, you know. It's and that's not even that expensive, right? Bold move, Cotton. But I go in there and they have like a prosciutto and something and pear pizza, and I'm like, pear, like it had slices of pear on it, and then like some truffles or something, and I'm like, I don't even know. What's happening?
And then you eat it, and you're like, that was pretty good.
Oh, you eat it, like, this is delicious, but I still, next time, won't know what's happening on the next one.
So that was interesting. It was a place called Bluebeard, too, and it was like,
yeah.
I don't know, it was a very interesting place to eat at. And then, of course, I had, like, White Castle, and I remembered, like, you know, why you only need to eat White Castle, like, once a year.
Yep.
Ever. Very.
That guy almost went for it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's going to go for it.
But yeah, in general, I'd say it was fun. I mean, I've... Because of the staging of things, I haven't even had a chance to unpack it yet. And in fact, some of the stuff you're probably going to pack at Amy's tomorrow is going to be stuff that I left at her house from the trip. But I have like a bag full of games that I bought in the back of my car right now, because I'm like, I'm not going to unpack those shits inside my house.
Yeah,
like,
fuck it. Yeah, that's that awkward time.
So that's kind of fun, and like being able to get a lot of the stuff you get there comes out before, like 2 months before it comes out anywhere else.
That's really cool. So you can go ahead and make reviews and then be a dick about it.
Yeah,
over everyone.
or like you know, be able to experience it. It lets one person go in and be able to experience it a little earlier. I mean, you said it was like one way, and I'm more happy that I get to play like a game faster.
Giant cock bag, really.
We played this game called Shark Island.
Gesundheit.
And it says Shark Island. That wasn't confusing. Gesundheit me. What is wrong with you?
Well, lots of things you want to list.
Yeah.
What are we doing? I'm still alive.
Basically, it's like one person plays the shark and the other people are playing hunters, and it's like Jaws. And so you're like terrorizing these things, and you're going to go out on these boats and try to fight the shark off. It's actually pretty fun.
Asymmetric multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. And it uses like a poker mechanic for battle, which is kind of fun.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, asymmetric multiplayers are like pretty interesting.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think it's a really fascinating way to keep a game from getting too dull.
Yeah. And you would really like Imperial Assault then.
It could be super competitive, but it doesn't feel like the other person is... It's not necessarily like the other person's better than you. It's that you're playing different games against each other. And I feel like I enjoy losing an asymmetric multiplayer more than I enjoy losing a symmetric multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
I agree with you. Because there's games like... I'm trying to think of a game you want to play. Dominion. Have you played Dominion?
Mm-hmm.
Dominion is considered a Euro game because your deck is your engine, right? And Euro games typically revolve around what you would most refer to as engine building. Being able to do the same things over and over again to get victory points, right?
Yes.
And it is basically a solitaire game because you sit there, and if you don't employ the right strategy in the right order, you lose. Like,
yeah.
Right? And those are kind of boring.
Those are frustrating for me. I don't particularly care for them because I feel like with a lot of things, I'm never going to be able to beat some of the other people who have done it even a little longer than me because there's so much going on and there's these spam things and bullshit moves and you learn all this stuff and I'm sitting here like, okay, what?
Netrunner probably felt the same way.
Netrunner weirdly didn't as much. Netrunner felt more like, again, because it was somewhat asymmetric, that when I lost,
that's fair, yeah.
It wasn't just somebody else. I don't know what it was. It's a subtle difference, but it's like, if you play poker with somebody and you lose, they're a better poker player than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you play Netrunner against somebody and you lose, it might be they're better at this, but you're better at that. And, you know, like, it's a different, mm-hmm. it's an interesting dynamic.
And, yeah, that's interesting, too, even amongst those kinds of games where you have the... So buying from a pool of cards that everyone can buy from versus buying from a lineup like Ascension that we played that one time, mm-hmm. Or buying from a deck that's personal to you. Right, so some deck builders let you build from decks that you chose from your character, right? Like Apex Predator, the one Kate has about dinosaurs.
Yes.
It's a deck building game where you pick your dinosaur species and you build off of that. So it's very, it becomes that kind of like, I guess that is asymmetric then because you're playing different styles. So there
you
go.
If they're genuinely Boom. Different styles, yeah. Yeah. But I think like the biggest example for me is still the video game Evolve.
Yeah, right? Evolve.
Or Left 4 Dead 2. When you play zombies.
And that's what I was going to differentiate between. So Evolve is like, they're both asymmetric multiplayer, so I won't even talk about the difference there, but it's the 1v-all and
that's
the
a big
all-v-all,
element, yeah.
Right? Where, like, there's a game called Vast the Crystal Caverns that I haven't played that I want to. But the reason that I don't think I'll ever get it to the table is because there's five different, like, characters. You can play with up to five people, but each person plays a different character than everyone else, and that character plays the game completely differently than everyone else.
And that,
so you have to teach each person each time they play because it's different, right? There's very few similar mechanics.
Well, that's sort of like Artemis.
Yeah, very much.
Artemis, I like that too because, again, there's five different games being played. They're all five small games that are not that complicated that you have to do under duress.
Mm-hmm. Replayability is really high with games like that, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And the one area I get kind of into a tiff about it, where I have, like, weird issues, is if you have a 1v-all, and that's what we're referring to as if one player plays the, like, bad guy and the rest of the players play good guys, or whatever you want to think about it as, right? One player is playing, like, the monster, and the other players are playing, like, the person who's supposed to kill the monster.
One person is more powerful and plays one game,
yeah.
And then the other players play.
Is when you're trying to tell a story and the person that's playing the bad guy is the GM or is the person playing all the enemies at once. So it's one person playing all the enemies and each other player playing an individual player character.
Mm-hmm.
Because it comes off a lot like you're supposed to be storytelling because it's a campaign-based game style usually do that.
Right.
But then you get into this area where you're, like, actually supposed to win as the GM. which yeah. is a weird place to be in, and it's a weird place to play.
I'm not a huge fan of that conceptually. I have to see how it plays out, but
right.
I'm not... theoretically, I'm not on board that as a concept.
Because mm-hmm. it's better to just be, like, you're one and done, and you don't feel like you've, like, lost the whole entire story because the GM won a game, and you're like, wait, what? Like...
I mean, asymmetric multiplayer where the GM is the monster seems problematic. I don't like it where the GM can win.
Yeah, it's antagonistic. Like, the GM become an antagonist. Yeah. Or, like, yeah.
That's where, though the game wasn't terribly popular, my favorite was still Evolve on that one because it did such a great job of setting up, like, it literally had, you know, start game, mid game, end game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those were clearly defined stages of evolution in the monster. Because when you started, if you didn't run like fuck and get away from the hunters, you're dead. 100% of the time, dead. And you can actually show the stats at the end. Like, if you got caught as the first stage monster and confronted the hunters, they would kill you in almost every game. But if you get to third stage and confront, almost every time the monster wins.
Huh.
So if the monster makes it to the third stage... unless the hunters are very tricky, the monster wins.
Doesn't that sound a little formulaic, though? Like, if you... like, it's like the whole game takes place in the second phase, why not just play the second phase all the time?
Because the whole point is to try and tilt it in your favor.
Okay.
If you can pick a group of characters or know the monster or know the player or something well enough to run to them in the first, you've got it clinched.
Okay.
As a hunter. So in the first phase, you're playing one game, which is run that fucker down. Right? And the monster then is run the fuck away. Like, it's cat and mouse.
Okay.
In the middle is where you're pretty evenly matched, and then it's worth going back and forth. By the third phase, the purpose of the hunters is to run the clock down, usually. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times there's a clock victory. Like,
survive.
If they survive long enough, mm-hmm. then the hunters win. So, it inverts the roles. Now the monster is hunting the hunters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And usually there's also, he has to destroy a thing, so they can't just hide, because they're
yeah,
small.
But
there's, like, a central core protect thing, so now they have to protect the central power structure or whatever, and it's...
So even within the asymmetric play, there's asymmetry.
Yeah, there's three games, right? Yeah. Three distinct stages of game within that, and, I mean, you're not playing different, you have subtly different powers, but it's still the same player, same, like... game skills. It's just different attitude because different purposes. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I like that is it does a really great job of building it up. Those games always felt epic. I don't remember a single one of those games being sort of like, that was kind of meh. It was always like, God damn it, Adam. How did you hide? Because at the end it shows you a map view and then runs you through where everyone went as a little trailing dot. So you can be like, oh, you fucker, you hid under the bridge the whole fucking time, you piece of human garbage.
And then next time you're like, I'm checking the bridge.
And then next time you go to the bridge, yes.
Thank you, yeah. That multi-level of strategy, too. Like, there's strategy in playing the monster, and there's strategy in being the monster, and there's strategy in thinking about playing the monster.
Oh, and all four of the plant hunter types had different, very different roles. Mm-hmm. And if you played the wrong role, you would usually get fucked up.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. But
oh, yeah, sorry.
Thanks for listening to the weird-ass one that was today. I think these are...
This was not an unusual level of ramble. This is normal. This is very normal. But... have a good day, everybody.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Lick a sub.
Lick a sub?
Lick a sub.
I think that's illegal. Like, you're out of
lick
school licking someone?
A sub.
Like a subwoofer.
No, like a sub sandwich.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm turning it off.
Okay.
Is it this one?